You're tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. The following program is a rebroadcast of Salvation is from the Jews with Roy Shoman.
Hi, this is Roy Shoman, and welcome once again to Salvation is from the Jews, the show on Radio Maria that celebrates the Jewish roots of the Catholic faith, or seen the other way around, the fulfillment, the full fruition of all of the promise of Judaism in the Catholic Church and its sacraments. Now, if you've been a regular listener to the show, you know that one of our favorite things to do on this show is to have the witness testimonies and thoughts of other Jewish Catholics, Jews who have very gratefully entered the Catholic Church. In fact, one of the main purposes of the show is simply to illuminate the treasures of the Catholic faith as they are sometimes more clearly or easily seen by people who come in from the outside, such as Jewish converts. Well, the Jewish convert which I would like to focus on today can't be on our show live because he is no longer live, unfortunately. He passed away in, I believe, 1998. But he left behind a wonderful body of work, of writings, of meditations, as well as his life story, all of which are extremely inspirational. And I had the great pleasure of having a friend, Professor Rhonda Chervin, who knew him. First of all, the Jewish convert I'm talking about is Charlie Rich, a Hasidic Jew from Europe who, as a very young man, moved to New York City and spent the rest of his life in the United States. But Professor Rhonda Chervin had the privilege and pleasure of knowing him over much of his life. And I have prevailed upon her to come back on the show as a guest this week to talk about Charlie Rich, both who he was and her interaction with him, and also to share with us some of his profound observations about Catholicism and life and God and the meaning of life and so forth. I had the pleasure of meeting Professor Chervin early on in my, relatively early on in my conversion. I had just published my first book, Salvation is from the Jews, and the publisher, Ignatius Press, asked me for suggestions for people to blurb at the back of the book, to write short endorsements on the back cover of the book. And I knew of Rhonda Chervin from her own work. She is a very well-known writer, having written over 50 books, and philosophy professor and so forth, and one of the stars in the constellation of Jewish converts to the church. And so I suggested her, and she read my book, and she endorsed it on the back cover. And shortly thereafter, she was coming to Boston, the Boston area where I lived at the time. And I invited her to visit, and since then we've been friends. So I'll let her tell the story of how she became friends with Charlie Rich. And I am about to turn the mic over to her, but I'm sure that you will be just as excited and inspired and edified by Charlie Rich and his words as I am. So, Rhonda, I assume you're there?
Yes, I am.
So why don't you introduce us to Charlie Rich?
Oh, shalom, Roy.
And shalom.
I'm invoking his presence because many, many people think that he was a saint. And many people talk to him in a spiritual way in their hearts. And he's a marvelous figure. He's probably one of the most interesting personalities in the whole area of Jews who became Catholics and who found Jesus coming out of that rich Jewish contemplative background. And so I want to first say I'm his biographer. I wrote a book about him with the title that is very telling about him, which was Hungry for Heaven. This was a man who was just thirsting to get to heaven. And he converted when he was 33, and he couldn't wait to die and try to get to, he thought he could get to heaven quickly. And God's little joke was to keep him on earth until he was 99. And every day he begged God to bring him to heaven. And so I'm going to tell you about his story, but first how I met him. I became a Catholic under the aegis of Dietrich and Alice von Hildebrand and their whole circle of friends in 1959. And this was in New York City. I was studying at Fordham University. And everybody who I would meet would say, well, have you met Charlie Rich? Have you met Charlie Rich? And I hadn't met him. So I finally went to a little conference at St. Francis Xavier High School, where he lived and where he was attending this group with a conference there. And he was an amazing looking man. It didn't take long to figure out who he was, because he was about, oh, maybe 5'4". And he looked like a Jewish street peddler. He was very, very, lived very poorly. And with a thick, thick Jewish accent. And these very piercing, penetrating eyes. And the minute I introduced myself to him, the first thing he said to me was, do you want to be a saint? And I said, well, I've just become a Catholic a few months ago. That seems like far to go. And he looked at me and he said, I don't want to be friends with anyone who doesn't want to be a saint, because then I won't see them after we die. It was very, very provocative, blunt character. And he would say the most amazing things like that that would stay in your mind forever. For instance, when he talked to my husband, who was a Jew from an Orthodox Jewish background, Martin Chervin, who became a Catholic when he was about 60. And he was hesitating a lot over this. He had become an atheist, but he loved Jesus. And so he asked Charlie Rich once, well, why should I become a Catholic? And Charlie just looked at him with his very Jewish face and his Jewish accent, and he said, because you get more. Now, only a New York Jew could imagine saying such a thing, you know. My husband was waiting for some long, theological, sublime answer, you know. But that answer is very, very deep, of course. Because, of course, we know, because Jesus, who was a Jew, because he was the Son of God, and because he died for our sins, he promises us if we follow him and repent of our sins, and that he will bring us to heaven. And that's more. Many, many Jews believe in heaven, but it's less. Well, what would you say? It's not that no Jews believe in heaven, but they're waiting for the Messiah for heaven. And therefore, they don't talk about it as much the way Catholic saints always, and the way the Catholic liturgy talks about heaven, right?
Yeah, even more than that, there isn't really a very well, I mean, in the Catholic world, because we have all these saints, including saints who have visited heaven and saints who have, spoken to people on earth from heaven and so forth, we have, in some sense, a pretty good picture of heaven and a pretty good understanding of what happens after death, the details of it. And none of those details are there in Judaism, including no pictures, so to speak, of heaven. And if you read the Old Testament, there's no picture of heaven drawn in the Old Testament. There's a vague sense of an afterlife of reward and punishment, but only a vague sense, nothing like we have with the New Testament and with the experience of the saints. So since the Jews' source of knowledge essentially ends with the Old Testament, all they have is what's there, and it is extremely vague and incomplete. And there's a very good reason for that. And of course, the reason for that is at the time the Old Testament was written, there was no one in heaven yet, right? It took Jesus' descent on Holy Saturday to open the gates of heaven and have the first human beings enter heaven. So why should Judaism have a picture of heaven which essentially didn't exist until Christianity? Just makes sense to me. But anyway, a bit of a digression. But yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I want to first tell you how this man became a Catholic, because it's a wonderful, wonderful story. And if you want all the details, you can read my book about his life called Hungry for Heaven. But I'm just going to summarize it now for you. And Charlie Rich was born, not called Charlie Rich, he was called Haskell Reich. And he was a little Jewish kid born in Hungary in 1899. And he was born in a village exactly like Fiddler on the Roof. So you can all picture this childhood and you can picture the rabbis. Now, from earliest childhood, he was very religious. And the rabbis noticed this. He liked to, instead of playing with other kids, he liked to go up in the forest and think about God. So they had a rule in that those villages that if a boy was like this, that he didn't have to do chores. He could just sit at the feet of the rabbis and learn. So he did this. And his father, however, joined all those Jews like the ones in the famous song Anatevka as they leave the little village and they go off to America. So his father went off to America to try to better their life with the idea when he got established of sending for the family. So he sends for the family, and this begins a very dark time for little Haskell, or when he came to America, he changed his name to Charlie. Okay, for Charlie. Because he didn't find out, he couldn't figure out how to get close to God in the city versus the forest. And besides that, the rabbis that he studied with, this would be in 1910 or so, these rabbis, instead of being mystical Hasidic rabbis, were kind of legalistic rabbis, probably along the lines of the scribes in, right, Roy?
Absolutely, absolutely. The Judaism was kind of divided into the Hasidic, charismatic, mystical stream, and the legalistic kind of Pharisaical stream. And they didn't even have all that much sympathy for each other. So I know what you're talking about.
So meanwhile, the family is very poor. And so he never gets past third grade. By third grade in the United States, they put him out to work. And so he's a pushcart. He's in the pushcarts on the Lower East Side, exactly like in the famous Barbara Streisand movie, Funny Girls, that whole atmosphere on the Lower East Side. He loses his faith. Eventually, he works himself up from pushcart peddler to waiter. And he works at night so that during the day, he can go to the 42nd Street, famous 42nd Street Public Library, and he's searching world literature, philosophy, and all the religious writings he can find, looking for the God he had lost. And he can't find him. So by the time he's 32 or so, he's in this total despair, and he tries to commit suicide. And he tries three times, and three times he's rescued the last minute. And so he feels now like a total failure. He's not working anymore. He's living with his parents and just walking around in a daze. So one day he thinks of something. That is, that the way they believe, because of the type of pogroms in Europe, such as seen in Fiddler on the Roof, he thinks, even though he was always studying all these great mystics, including Catholic mystics, he thought if a Jew walks into a Catholic church, they might kill him. So he had never walked into a Catholic church. So he decides, well, I want to commit suicide. I'll walk into the Catholic church, and that'll be it. So he walks in, and he sits down, and he sees this picture of Jesus on the top of the wall, and
Excuse me for being pedantic. You knew Charlie Rich, so you have a lot of details which I missed when I wrote about him in Honey from the Rock. But I thought it was a stained glass window?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a stained glass window of Jesus talking to the disciples with the storm.
Yes, you know, stilling the waters. Yeah.
Stilling the waters. And Jesus said to him, I am God. So he sits there stunned. And he walks out of the church and he heads toward the library. He used to spend all his time at the library. This is in the Bronx of New York where his parents lived by then. So, and in the library, there's a poster and it says there's a talk at Fordham University on the mystical Christ in the modern world. So he goes to this talk, but he sits way at the back because he looks, you know, like street people look practically. And it's this Jesuit priest talking about this. So he writes the Jesuit a letter and he says, tells him about his whole life experience. And he says, you probably don't have time for someone like me. You know, I never passed to pass third grade. And the Jesuit writes back and said, how could I not have time for a man whom God is talking to? So he met these Jesuits and he started learning about the Catholic faith. And however, he said, the day I'm baptized, you have to put me in a monastery because my father will kill me if I become a Catholic, because his father was a practicing Orthodox Jew and was horrified by what was happening to his son. His mother was a very mystical Jew who loved him and would never have hurt him in any way. And but the father was a very fierce legalistic Jew. So he's baptized. They put him in the monastery. And as soon as he's baptized, he becomes a 24/7 contemplative. He prays constantly. He sits in the church. He sits in front of statues of Mary and weeps. And he's having all these visions and all of this. So he thought he could stay at the monastery, but since he had been a waiter before, they put him on clearing tables. But what he would start clearing a table, and the Holy Spirit would drag him into the chapel. And 4 hours later, the tables aren't clean, so they didn't know what to do with him. So this Jesuit who was instructing him said, this is a very extraordinary man. Let's take him in. We have a little cut under the staircase at the Jesuit residence. It was a Jesuit high school, and this was the residence for the priests who taught at the high school. Let's stick him in there, and he'll pray us up. And he stayed there for 50 years, praying up the Jesuits. This is an extraordinary story, right?
Amazing.
Okay. Now, this priest eventually died, and a new priest would come in who was in charge of the residence. And he'd say, who is this creature here? What is he doing here? Here's this man who still looks like a pushcart peddler with this thick Jewish accent. He's sitting here doing nothing and eating. What is this? But they had such, the priest who had taken him under his mentorship was so loved and respected that they figured we better not get rid of Charlie because something bad will happen to us if we get rid of Charlie.
What was Charlie doing all day, every day when he was
praying all day?
Well, yeah. Colored a little bit.
All day. I mean, he'd get up at 5 a.m. and serve a priest's mass who wanted to say very early morning mass. Then he'd eat a little breakfast. They fed him. He'd eat a little breakfast. Then he'd go back and pray for another 4 hours.
This is in the chapel in front of the Blessed Sacrament?
Yes, in the residence chapel. Okay. In the meantime, he started writing meditations. And he was always reading the great saints, all the mystics especially John of the Cross, Francis de Sales, people like this. So he was always reading these books. And then he would write meditations. Now, this is before write on the computer. So he typed these out on a little typewriter, and then he Xeroxed them to give to his disciples. So what happened was more and more people got to know Charlie, this mystic, and he became the spiritual director. In effect, he never called himself a spiritual director because he thought only priests can be a spiritual director, which isn't true, but he thought so. But he became the sort of Catholic, Hebrew Catholic guru figure for all these Jewish converts, but also lots of other people. I mean, he had disciples who were bankers, who were businessmen, who were mothers of children, all kinds of people heard of him, found him. You know, usually some Jesuit would say, why don't you get to know Charlie Rich? Well, these things that he wrote were wonderful, but because he had never gotten past third grade, they weren't very well written grammatically and smoothed out. So some of his disciples started fixing up these meditations, and one of them, and this is a man who's huge in the life of Charles Rich, and all of you know him without knowing him for this reason. This man, whose name was Robert Hupka, he was a photographer, and he is the man who did all the famous photographs of Toscanini. And Toscanini didn't like to be photographed, so he refused to sit for photographic portraits. So this Robert Hupka would hide behind the kettle drums in the orchestra and take these magnificent photos, which you see on every album, you know, every old album that's now a CD or whatever it is now. All these photographs were done by this Robert Hupka. This Robert Hupka was a man with a private promise not to marry, who lived as a single man, and he had come from Austria, from Vienna. And his parents were Jews who became Catholic, they didn't become Catholic. They were Jews who had the kids baptized with the thought that they could save them from pogroms and massacres. So the two children, Robert and his sister, were sent out of Vienna, were baptized. They went to Catholic schools, and they loved the Catholic faith. And the parents sent them off just before World War II. And eventually the parents died in the Holocaust in a concentration camp. But these two kids, the girl went to England, and he came to the United States. And he wanted to be a monk. He was a very nervous person, so they didn't keep him in the monastery. So he was looking for a way to be a kind of monk in the world. And he worked for CBS as a tech man most of his life. But meanwhile, all his spare time, he spent sitting in the parlor of the Jesuit residence talking to Charlie. And Charlie would help him with his spiritual life. And as in gratitude, Robert Hupka started making books out of these meditations. And they were printed by St. Bede's Press near Worcester, Petersham, near Worcester, Massachusetts. Anyway, so he had done one of these books. Well, so I was studying philosophy, meanwhile, at this Jesuit at Fordham University. So one of the priests who was very close to Charles Rich said, after he had introduced me to Charlie, he said, look, Rhonda, why don't you go through all these meditations, boxes and boxes of these things, all these meditations, and put them into books, be his editor, because you could do that very easily. So I started doing this. So we have, besides my autobiography, Hungry for Heaven, we have these books with these meditations that I edited over many years. And he was my mentor. Von Hildebrand was my intellectual, philosophical mentor. But Charlie Rich was my spiritual mentor for this reason, that As an intellectual Catholic, I didn't really understand how to pray from the heart and from the depth of the spirit. So, for instance, when my godfather suggested that I, aside from doing Liturgy of the Hours and going to daily Mass, that I should pray silently for a certain, for 10 minutes, I was horrified. I hadn't a clue. What do you mean? My whole idea was that God is way up there and you say these beautiful prayers and that way you get closer to God by going to Mass and saying these beautiful prayers. But Charlie got me into the whole mystical tradition of the church. And at first I never had any kind of mystical experiences, but from reading these mystics, I felt very drawn to that passionate spirituality. And then at a certain point in my life, you can read all about that if you like, in my autobiography, which is called En Route to Eternity, all of these things are on my website, but you can read all about that part of my life if you want, but I want to concentrate on Charlie. But when I started from making a consecration to Our Lady of Fatima, I started getting these mystical experiences. So then I got into a correspondence with Charlie every day, which lasted about 30 years. So I was in California. He was in New York City. We were very, very close. I was kind of a spiritual daughter to him. And he brought me into this deep sense of eternity that he had, because he prayed in such depth. And so getting to the actual way, his way of writing was totally different than any of the books you've ever read because, see, he wasn't coming out of academic Catholicism. So he wasn't writing scholarly books at all. He was writing just the thoughts that came to his head while he did all these readings of the saints. And he would come up with these marvelous images of the spiritual life that is so gutsy and very, very Jewish, I would say, in the sense that I think, would you say also, Roy, that Jewish spiritual writers, Hasidic writers, for instance, they use a lot of sort of gutsy imagery?
Yeah. I hate to do this, but I'm going to interrupt you a little bit or invite you to interrupt yourself because, first of all, it's time for us to take a break. We usually take a short musical break in the middle of the show. And the other thing is, since the show is half over, I want to get to some of the fruit of Charlie Rich, some of his writings, some of these images themselves and so forth. So if I could, suggest that we at this point, take a short break for a couple of minutes, have the musical interlude, come back, and delve into representative samples of exactly this beautiful Hasidic Catholic spirituality of Charlie Rich. I assume that's okay with you?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. So with that, let me say this is Roy Shoman, your host on Salvation is from the Jews on Radio Maria. We're talking with our guest for today, Professor Rhonda Chervin, about another Jewish Catholic, Charlie Rich. And when we come back from the break, we'll hear some extracts from his writings. We'll learn more about where you can get a hold of his writings, and we'll continue our discussion with Rhonda Chervin. Back in a few moments. Bye for now.
You're tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to a rebroadcast of Salvation is from the Jews with Roy Shoman.
Welcome back. This is again Roy Shoman, your host on Salvation is from the Jews. And we've been speaking with Professor Rhonda Chervin about another very extraordinary Jewish entrant into the Catholic Church, Charlie Rich, a Hasidic Jew from Hungary, who spent most of his life in New York City as a contemplative living with the Jesuits until from the time of his conversion at about the age of 32 to his ripe old age when God finally let him have his heart's desire of entering heaven at the age of 99. So anyway, so we've been talking about his life story and his background and who he was, and now maybe we can go into some of his own writings and some of the wisdom and insight that that we can glean from him. So with that introduction, Rhonda, do you want to launch ahead?
Yes, but I also want to tell you that I put together a website about him, and it has a little video where you can hear his inimitable voice and see his face live. If you just Google Friends of Charles Rich, if you just put Charles Rich, you get some pop singer. So you have to put Friends of Charles Rich or Charles Rich Contemplative, and then you'll get this, this whole website with all sorts of interesting things on it. But the image that he has that I just love the most is the following. Well, people would talk about, well, I love God so much and I try so hard, but why am I not a saint? I'm not holy. What's the matter with me? And he had this delicious image for this. He says, okay, a man passes this store every day, a clothing store. And he sees this beautiful suit, and he's longing for this suit. So this is before credit cards. So he saves his money so that he can buy the suit. And the suit costs $100. Okay, so he saves his $100, and finally he goes into the store, and there's the suit. And he's ready to buy it, and the salesman says, well, but if you have a suit like this, it would be better also to have a shirt and a tie that matched this suit. So he looks at the shirt and the tie, but he doesn't have enough for the suit and the shirt and the tie. So he buys a cheaper suit so that he can also have the shirt and the tie. So he says, that's what we do. We say all we want to do is be holy. But then when the price tag comes, we say, well, besides being holy, I also want to be comfortable. I also want to be well-liked. I also want to have everything go my way. See?
It's a beautiful metaphor.
It's a great image, right? So here's others. Now, because I put together a whole bunch of these very short quotes after he died in a book called Give Me Your Heart, Preparing for Eternal Life. And I have each chapter is different things that we feel, like when we're afraid, what you could read from Charlie Rich, or when you're angry, or when you're discouraged. So for when you're afraid of death, he has this image. How can you build a new house unless you get rid of the old house? This body has to die. I'm going to just read some of these two, my favorite ones of his, with this just gutsy imagery, which you never see in a book of either classical or contemporary spirituality. I write a lot of contemporary spirituality, but we want to make everything sound beautiful, whereas he wanted to get to where the rubber hits the road. So he says about being agonized. The juice remains in the lemon unless someone does the squeezing. That's why God allows others to hurt us. Isn't that neat? The juice remains in the lemon unless someone does the squeezing. That's why God allows others to hurt us. Now, here we are with another one. Oh, he also loves to quote, he loved one-liners from the saints. So here's one again on agony from St. John Chrysostom. Suffering destroys in us the sympathy which we have for the present life. The suffering weans us from our attachment to the present life so that we are willing to take this leap, or we're willing to let God draw our souls out of this present life. And of course, we'll have the resurrected body later on, but that could take a little while, like maybe hundreds of years. Suffering destroys in us the sympathy which we have for the present life. So when you suffer, instead of feeling, I can't bear the idea that I'm going to leave this world someday, you say, I can't wait to get out of here. It's so terrible, right? Okay, here's one on anger. The moment something upsets you, drop it. When you touch a hot pot, what do? You drop it. You have a moral obligation. God rests only in a soul of peace. Drive out any disturbing thought with another thought, like you drive out a nail with another nail. To acquire this balance, you have to work on it constantly. So the key idea is when something upsets you, drop it. Now, what we usually do is something upsets me, that, for me anyway, something upsets me, then I start obsessing about it, analyzing it, tearing it to pieces, figuring out how I can get back at the person who upset me, right? Things like that, like the sarcastic remarks I might have said. Okay, here's one on the subject of depressed. We are like rubber balls pushed underwater and coming up again. Don't ever stay down. See, so these, he came up with these things all the time. If you go and look at his books, which some of them are out of print, but you can get them used books, you know, you'll have tons of these kind of imagery.
Do you have any of his books up as PDF files on your website or on his website?
What I have is this book with these quotes, so that's a nice introduction. But you can get them used for $6.
Let me just put in this little commercial interruption that Rhonda's website is rhondachervin.com, without an H, RhondaChervin.com. And and as she mentioned, you can get Charlie Rich's website by searching for Friends of Charlie Rich or Charlie Rich Catholic Contemplative or something like that.
Well, it's right on my, I have it on my website, but the easiest way to find that, if you forget how to spell Rhonda Chervin, Charles Rich is a little, much easier to remember. If you just go to Friends of Charles Rich, you'll get the whole thing. Okay, on despair. If you have lost all consolation, there remains the one hope to have God in the next world, to hope to have after death what you do not have here. So many, many people came to Charlie who were in despair, miserable, this and this happened to me, I can't stand it, how can I go on? And by his constantly preaching the beauty of eternity, he got people not to feel as if because I lost this, this, and this, I can't stand to go on living. He was particularly wonderful to me when my son committed suicide when he was 19. It was the worst moment in my whole life, and going to see Charlie with his huge hope in eternal life was just very, very helpful to me, as you can imagine. Okay, he is disgusted. You know, many of us go around all the time in this feeling of disgust at everything that upsets us about the world around us, about ourselves, about our families, about people in the workplace, politics, you know. We can be very disgusted. He says, try to see the good that people accomplish. See the good and disregard the little things. Now, here's the Jewish part. Make a bargain. Never let a little thing interfere with the greater good. So he's not thinking of huge things in the world like the number of abortions. He's not thinking about that kind of thing. He's talking about the type of disgust we feel with all kinds of trivial things all day long. But these are things that happen in the midst of which we're surrounded very often by wonderful people, by wonderful, we could be reading wonderful books about good things that people do. And instead, we wallow in this disgust. Okay, here's under doubtful. I love this. In regard to your spiritual life, you can't get to the top floor without passing through the first floor. See, we like, especially Jewish converts. I remember right after my baptism, I was complaining that I was still doing bad stuff. And my godfather said to me, smilingly, "Oh, you thought the minute you were baptized, you'd become a little saint, didn't you, Rhonda?" See, we would like to go right from baptism into holiness. And instead, we have this enormous, I mean, if God let us live so long, I'm 77 years old, Roy is much younger, but, you know, 77 years and I still have these faults, which I have to confess, and these, you know, things I do. And I have to just put up with it that he's given me this law. Evidently, he sees I need more years before I would be ready for heaven. Otherwise, I would have an enormous purgatory. So here's one on when you're very tired. If you were in one of my classes, I would look around and I would say, how many of you feel tired today? You know, people are always kvetching about how tired we are, right? This is what he says. There are times in our life when the conviction imposes itself upon us that nothing matters but Jesus and Mary. But not Jesus and Mary as their names are to be found written down, but as the personalities of them are infused into our souls by the Holy Spirit himself. For it is only when this takes place that any real help can come to our poor, weary, laden, and distracted souls. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Here's some more. He was very big on trying to get me and others of his disciples not to worry all the time. He says, you can't worry and trust God. If you have faith, you don't worry. If you worry, you don't have faith.
It's pretty straightforward and pretty true.
So he would say these things, but he would say these things to me and to others with this beautiful smile. It happens that Roy Shulman put together postcards with a picture of him with this lovely, serene smile on his face. And he would have this little twinkle in his eye when he would tell you something like this. You see, you come to him and you say, I'm so worried about this. I'm so worried about that. I'm so worried about this. And he'd have this little smile and he'd say, so you have no faith? So what's the matter? You have no faith? So it's, I've read very little. Roy's probably read many more of these books about the sayings of the Hasidic rabbis, but I really think that the way he expresses these things is coming out of those roots. Wouldn't you say so, Roy?
I think it is definitely coming out of Jewish roots, but at the same time, a lot of what you said, frankly, reminded me of the way Jesus spoke, his parables. Because Jesus also kept using metaphors like that and using very concrete images to convey deep relationships. So, of course, Jesus was Jewish too, so that's not a contradiction at all. I want to interrupt, just out of fear of not having another chance, to read a very short passage from Charlie Rich that goes back in time a little bit to when he entered the church. And it's simply a short extract where he expresses his gratitude for the gift of having entered the Catholic Church. So I'm kind of backfilling a little bit of a context which you and I have, but our listeners don't have. So let me just read this short extract from Charlie Rich. I have, since my baptism and First Communion, acquired a happiness which I would not exchange for anything in all the world. It has given me a peace of mind and a serenity of outlook which I did not think was possible on this earth. It would have been in vain to have been born had God not been good enough to extend me the grace to become a member of the mystical body of Christ that the Church of Rome is. Without the life Christ is, there is no life at all. One can never come to an end of enumerating the blessings conferred by the grace of being a Catholic. The mercies of the Lord I will sing forever. Can the mercy of God be made more manifest than the grace extended to us to be members of the only true Church? The Church of Rome gives us God Himself when we receive Holy Communion. To become more intimately united with God than the Church enables us to be by means of the Holy Sacraments, we must take leave of this life. How joyous, how tremendously peaceful the hours have been that I have spent as a Jewish convert in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Is there not a craving in the heart of a Jewish person for Christ the Lord, as he may be had on this earth by means of the Holy Eucharist? Taste and see how sweet the Lord is. How can the Jewish people endure the lack of grace Christianity can alone supply them? Once he has received the grace to become a Catholic, the life of a convert becomes a song he will sing for the rest of his earthly days. I just want to, you know, put a little foundation in there.
That's so beautiful. Absolutely so. You know, I had an interesting exemplification of that. A relative in my family, I'd given him, he wasn't Jewish, but I'd given him all these I'd given him all these books about the Catholic Church. And he said, and now he wants to become a Catholic, but he said, nothing I read in those books meant as much to me as the fact that when you would visit, you would come running down the stairs every morning, face full of joy on your way to church for daily mass, and you would smile and say, God bless you. And so it's this joy that we have, you know, and the joy in spite of all the sufferings of life, which I've had many, many sufferings, in spite of the most agonizing sufferings, this experience of Jesus, our eternal Savior, outweighs every suffering on earth. You see, the way I like to put it, that this is probably the Charlie Rich-like image, I like to say to people when they question me about how can you believe in a God of love with all the suffering in the world? Like, look at your time on earth is like 1 inch. And eternity, if you make it to through purgatory to heaven, eternity is infinite. All you need to know to want to think that it's worth it to suffer a little on earth, even a terrible amount on earth. All you have to do is do a little math. You don't need to be a genius to figure this out, do you?
Yeah.
So, well, of course, the trouble is people don't get close enough to God in prayer and through the sacraments. If we don't get close enough to Him by making Him the very center of our lives, then, of course, it's not so real to us.
Yeah. I will put in a little advertisement. Reading the saints makes a huge difference too. I'll put Charlie Rich in that category too. Because, you know, we drown in the everyday happenings of our days and we lose the heavenly perspective. We lose this true perspective of life in the light of eternity. And whenever you read anything by any saint, including Charlie Rich, it's just imbued with the light of eternity. And all of a sudden, you know, we're able to enter into that perspective in our own lives.
Well, here's a beautiful quote about him and just this subject. He says, the sea, the ocean, the sea takes you out of time and helps the soul to think of eternity, which the almost limitless stretches of ocean water resemble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
So we're drawing to a close. We have maybe about 5 more minutes. I don't know if there are any other passages you'd like to read or anecdotes you'd like to relate.
I think I'd like to, with you, pray together a little, and ask Charlie to intercede for us. Oh dear Charlie, you've now come to the fulfillment of your great wish to be in heaven. And we believe you're in heaven. And we ask you to help us. You would spend any amount of time talking to anyone who had any problems, and you left this gigantic literature. There's still like 50 boxes of these meditations, which could someday be put into even more books. So you have reached this fulfillment, and you look down on us here on earth, I'm sure with compassion and with a loving, serene smile, and say, don't worry. Just buy the $100 suit and don't try to buy everything else and lose the $100 suit. Would you like to add to that prayer?
Well, let me first of all add an amen to yours, but let me also ask Charlie Rich to intercede, because he knows the terrible hole in the heart of not knowing Jesus and not knowing the meaning of life and not having a relationship with God. He knows the Jewish hunger for God and the Jewish hunger for the Messiah, which in fact is a Jewish hunger for Jesus. He knows and can see the millions and millions and millions of people trapped on earth between birth and death in the situation that he was in before his conversion. And I would like to pray him to intercede for their conversions, for the veil to drop from their eyes, and for them also to come into the joyful and satisfying and peace-producing relationship with the Jewish Messiah that he did, and also that he might stir up a fire in the hearts of all of our Catholic and non-Jewish listeners to have a heart for the conversion of the Jews and to pray for the conversion of the Jews, because that's where, and to offer sacrifices for the conversion of the Jews, so that, you know, his own people may join him where he is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So that does...
As a matter of fact, now, here's an anecdote that I think you forgot, Roy. One time, he thought he was supposed to leave his residence there with the Jesuits on West 16th Street. And they sent him up to the Boston area, and they put him into this old Jesuit retreat house to stay for, after a few months, he gave up. He needed the city. He needed to be back in the city, and he went back to the Jesuit retreat house. And that house was actually the house that you bought.
Oh, well, it was on the same, the house I bought was on the same property as had retreat house.
Yes. Yeah. So he certainly was looking after Roy, who is now one of the foremost Jews who found Christ in the Catholic Church.
Well, I did forget that anecdote, so thanks for that. And that does, I am going to have to wrap it up before I get in trouble with the station. This is Salvationists from the Jews on Radio Maria. This is Roy Shoman, your host. We've been talking with Professor Rhonda Chervin. She, in our previous recent program, gave her own witness testimony, which is very beautiful, which you can find in the audio archives at radiomaria.us.
I have to put this in. Charlie loved Mary. He loved the rosary. He had the rosary in his hand every minute when he slept, when all day long he had the rosary in his hand.
In fact, I remember in one of his writings, Charlie Rich saying that when he despairs at the meaning of his life, or rather feels that there's nothing worthwhile he can do, his response, his answer to himself is, I can always say another Hail Mary. That's a very worthwhile thing I can do at this moment. Anyway, I want to thank you very much, Rhonda Chervin, my guest for today, for this beautiful discussion of the life and prayer life and work of Charlie Rich. And I want to thank our listeners for having listened. If you would like to hear today's show over again, or share it with somebody else, or hear a past show, perhaps Professor Rhonda Chervin's own witness testimony, if you didn't catch that live, you can listen to any of our past programs on the Radio Maria website, radiomaria.us. In their radio archives, just choose programs, Salvationists from the Jews, and then find past programs, which can be listened to or downloaded. Or you can also listen to them via my website, which is salvationistfromthejews.com. On the homepage, there's a box across the top which says essentially, click here to listen to past Radio Maria shows. Anyway, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for listening and hope you join us again next week on Salvationists from the Jews. Bye for now.
You're tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. The program you just heard was a rebroadcast of Salvation is from the Jews with Roy Showman.